Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Tuesday morning, Tuesday, June the 15th, 2021. And there's a lot of things to talk about this morning, a lot of things of interest. Now, the first thing I want to do is talk about something very serious this time of year, because we've been getting a lot of these as of late. This will be on the news report tomorrow in greater detail, but last night, June 14th, in Clarendon Township at around 7:36 p.m., it's on the website now if you want to read it, the Facebook page, it looks like a gentleman was riding his motorcycle and somehow lost control of the motorcycle and was killed. And this is not the first time this has happened this year. Matter of fact, I think there's a news story on our news report today of this happening somewhere else in Marion County, and I believe it happened on Sunday afternoon. And in both cases, people were not wearing their helmets. Now, I understand, if you're a motorcycle rider, that maybe you don't want to wear it because you like the wind in your hair, or it's just a heavy piece of material, or it makes you hot. I really don't know the reasoning that people don't wear the helmets, but... And I'm not even sure, I know a lot of people's theory is that if you crash your motorcycle, that a helmet's not going to save you anyway. Well, I don't know if that's true. I know that the head is the most important thing that you do not want to damage when you wreck your motorcycle. And it's just sad because in these reports, when we hear that somebody has died, we learned that they were not wearing their helmet. So you wonder if if they had been, if they would have lived, because you very rarely ever get a report of a motorcycle accident, a motorcycle fatality, where it says the person was wearing their helmet. So it's just, all I guess I'm saying at this point, I don't know this person. I didn't know the person that was killed on Sunday, but both of them, it doesn't look like either one had anything to do with any other cars. It just looks like they both lost control and went off the road and were not wearing helmets. And it resulted in a fatality. Now, again, I don't know if it would have been a fatality if they had their helmets on, but wear a helmet. You know, it's just like wearing your safety belt. You know, the truth is that it probably won't save you in every crash, that situation that you might be in, but there are some that it will. So that's the theory, and I think we do everything in life to try to stay alive in these situations that we don't expect. And I'm not even sure what the law is in Ohio, because I don't ride a motorcycle, so I don't know what the law is, but I certainly see people without helmets on all the time. Now, is there a law that you're supposed to wear a helmet? Is it a secondary offense? Do you have to be picked up for something else? Because I know that I see more people without helmets than with helmets. So I'm not sure what the rules are on motorcycle helmets in Ohio. Does anybody know what the law is when it comes to this? Are you supposed to wear a motorcycle helmet? Is it a law that you're supposed to wear a helmet? It's interesting in Ohio because you have to have car insurance in Ohio. That's a law. That's not a suggestion. But seat belt is secondary. I believe driving while texting is still a secondary offense, but the motorcycle helmet thing, I really don't know. I don't know if that's I don't even know if that's a law. Because to be honest with you, when somebody crashes with no helmet on, at that point, what are you going to do? So does anybody know the helmet law in Ohio when it comes to motorcycles? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But that accident in Clarendon Township last night, a shame. 7:36 p.m. On Marion Edison Road. Saw somebody, it looks like they were on a motorcycle, and it went, let's see here, they were going eastbound, and they traveled off the right side of the roadway and struck a ditch. And unfortunately, this gentleman lost his life, 63 years old, in this accident. So, there you go. But does anybody know the helmet law in Ohio? Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. Or do you know the reason that people don't wear helmets? Like I say, I am not a motorcycle rider. I would not know the answer to this. Is there a particular reason that people don't wear helmets? 740-383-9944. So that's the news of the morning, and we'll have an updated, more in-depth version of that news report on the hourly news report very soon. Also, the full report is on the Facebook page. So if you go to the Facebook page, you can read the whole report, and it has the gentleman's name in it and exactly what happened. You know, motorcycles, I think, have always been fun for a lot of people. A lot of people love to buy a motorcycle. It's a dream of a lot of people when they're very young to get older and have enough money to buy a motorcycle. But you do have to be safe. They travel very fast. You're on roadways. And if you lose control, it can be a bad outcome. That is for sure. But if anybody knows those laws, give me a buzz. Okay. Another thing I want to talk about this morning is yesterday's programming on the station here. I thought we had some really good programming here. After I went off the air yesterday, Adam Lepp did a show, Mid-Morning Coffee Break, and he had on, I listened to a little bit of this, he had on Mary Wilson from the Supremes' assistant, and I believe his last name was Styles, and it was a good interview. I thought Adam did a good interview. I thought the guy was informative, and it was a good program. So Adam did a great job, and I commend him for that. And it was a fun program to listen to. If you're interested in that type of music and that era, it was fascinating. But also, if you're just interested in the entertainment industry, it was a nice little inside look of the entertainment industry. So that was a good show yesterday here on the station. And then Linda Sims, I believe, had on Pastor Jackie Peterson yesterday, and that was a good show. So a lot of good programming on the station yesterday, and that is never a bad thing. So we commend both of them for the programs that they put on. Now, after saying nice things, now I have a little complaint here. And this has been a long-term complaint with me. You know, when you're in radio, and this goes back to when I started in radio, or when you're in, well, radio particular, I'm going to speak directly to radio because I really don't know how the other mediums work. I don't think they work as particular as radio. When you're in radio, when you're on the air, you're all working out of the same studio. And you're working with the same control board and the same computers and the same microphones and the same clocks and all that. And you know, one thing that drives me nuts, and I am pretty anal retentive when it comes to this, is when I come into a studio, I leave that studio just like I found it. Now, when you do a show, you are bound to move things around, put things to the side. You know, that happens. I do that in the morning. I change headphones to make sure I have my headphones on. I've moved microphones around. I've done all kinds of things. But when I leave a studio, I try as best I can to put everything back the way it was when I came, because I know that's how other people expect it, and it's just going to take them a longer amount of time to put the studio back to the way it was before they do their show. So my question is why do people not do that? Now, I'm not saying anybody's name, but that is the weirdest thing to me in really any walk of life, though. Why do people not put things back as they found them? Nobody cares that people move stuff around. That's not a big thing at all. But I don't know why people don't put them back. That is a pet peeve of mine. I'm going to have to learn patience when it comes to that. Well, I think I have been exhibiting patience when it comes to that, because I've been doing it for like 20 years now, watching people move stuff around. But that's the way it goes, I guess. Does anybody have any? I'm always interested to hear people's pet peeves. That's one of my daily pet peeves. 740-383-9944. Any pet peeves, or does anybody know the motorcycle laws here in Ohio? That would be interesting to know. Want to give you a little update on my tomato plant. Now, I started growing this plant it's maybe a month ago now. Well, yesterday, here's the thing. It's in my yard. And like I said, I am not a horticulturalist. I am not, I was never in FFA. I don't know anything about gardening. I don't think I've ever had a garden out in my life. There are people who are very good at that. But, you know, I am not one of them. Now, I could pretend that I was good at that, but where would that get us? So, I have this tomato plant, and I'm just waiting for the tomatoes. Because I keep hearing that a tomato plant will produce a lot of tomatoes. Well, we've had all this rain lately, and I guess I have not been watering the tomato plant. So, yesterday, I didn't even think of this, because we really didn't have any rain yesterday up until last night. We did not have any rain on Sunday that I remember, and I don't think we had any rain on, I don't know if we had any Friday or Saturday or not. I don't think we had any on Saturday. In any event, last night, Angie stopped by, and the first thing she said as she walked in, she said, "We've got a problem." Now, I'm thinking there's something big going on. You know, somebody's dropped dead, or something bad has happened, and she says, "No, the tomato plant is drooping. It's dry as a bone." So, we had to go outside and water the tomato plant, and it is true, the leaves were drooping. Now, I don't know if I can take all the responsibility on this, because I don't know why it's not something I pay attention to. Now, it immediately caught her eye, because she had not been around for days. So, it just immediately caught her eye to look at this tomato plant and see what bad shape it was in. Now, she could be looking at this tomato plant because she knows, clearly, I don't know what I'm doing. So maybe it's a thing of hers to look at it because she knows I am not in that field. I am not a gardening type of person. But we watered it. And then, of course, last night all the rain came, so I'm sure it has water now. But boy, the leaves were drooping on this tomato plant. And it's kind of sad because the tomato plant has been growing very well. It's been, I think, doing what it's supposed to do. So what is a good way to remember to water your plant every night or every day? Because clearly it's not something that goes through my brain. Now, I do have routines in life. I go out and walk and or run a mile every night. So I remember to do that. I remember to set the alarm every night so I can get up and come in here. But for some reason, this tomato plant is not on my list of things to remember for whatever reason. So does anybody have a routine when it comes to summer and watering their plants? Do they time it with something else? Because clearly it's just not in my mind to do this. So does anybody have any advice on working this tomato plant? 740-383-9944. Now, I'm waiting for any kind of information today. Somebody's got to know the helmet law in Ohio. Now, of course I could look it up, but I'm more interested to hear what somebody else has to say. Does anybody know what the motorcycle helmet law is here in Ohio? Oh, I also wanted to make mention, we had Dennis Kucinich on the show yesterday, former Ohio representative and former candidate for president and former mayor of Cleveland, and he was going to make an announcement yesterday, and it looks like he is going to run for mayor of Cleveland again. Now, how about that? I don't know the last time that Dennis Kucinich was mayor of Cleveland, but here he is making another run for mayor of Cleveland after many, many years. I don't know when he became a representative, but it was quite a while ago. I know he was mayor of Cleveland, I think in the 70s and 80s, but going back to do that. And a lot of people wonder about this. Here's a gentleman in his 70s, and he's coming back to run for mayor of Cleveland. I don't know. I would think Dennis Kucinich in this particular case is going to be very hard to beat, because he's very well known nationally. He's very well known in the Cleveland area. He's a former Cleveland mayor. And I would think that these people on city council are not going... I don't want to say just city council members, but the people running against him are going to have a very hard time, because this is a local election. This is not even a statewide thing, let alone a national thing. It's just a city thing. Mayor of Cleveland. So I would think it's going to be very hard for somebody to come in and beat Dennis Kucinich. So that will be what it will be. But I'm sure that's a big story in the Cleveland area this morning, that Dennis Kucinich is running for mayor again. All right. What else is on the agenda? You know something I've been noticing lately? And this is just through social media. And I don't know what they're sick with, but I'm seeing a lot of posts by people that people are on ventilators and people are not doing well. And it's very sad to hear about these people's unfortunate circumstance. I'm certainly glad that the family members post this stuff because, it gives us all an idea of what's going on. But it's just sad to read that this is going on and people are facing these health trials and tribulations. And I saw this morning that one of our faithful listeners out there, Linda, that her sister had passed away yesterday because of, it looks like, some kind of respiratory illness. I don't know that for sure, but that's what it looks like. And I just wanted to say that certainly our thoughts and our just good thoughts We're sending good thoughts your way, because that's very tough. It's just very, very tough when somebody gets sick like that and you lose a family member. And it's those respiratory illnesses are very, very difficult. Very difficult. Because you can be sick for quite a while. And ultimately, it always doesn't go in our favor. So just want to send out good thoughts to Linda and her family and let her know we're thinking about her and hope that she can find some kind of peace in this moment losing a sister like that. It's just difficult. It's very difficult. And you know, grief is a very interesting thing because it hits people at different times in their life. And I'm not sure what the best way is to deal with grief. I think that the best thing you can do is probably just be thankful for the time you had them around. You know, somebody said at one point that would you have taken, if somebody would have come to you years ago and said, you're only going to have this much time with this person, would you have taken that deal? And most people would say yes, if it's somebody they like. So I think that's kind of how we have to look at it. You know, life doesn't go on forever for any of us. And I think we just have to take the time that we have with people very seriously and live in those moments. And then also remember those moments when they're gone. I think that does matter. I think having pictures of them around, I think talking about them helps. It's hard in the beginning to do that, but I think as time goes on, that helps. And I think that knowing that they were is important. And you know, kind of back-ended, the fact that you miss somebody shows that they did make a difference, that they made some impression on you. And that is a very nice thing, because there are people who die every day that make no impression on anybody. It's sad, but it does happen. Or some people who make a horrible impression on people, and that's no good. Does anybody have any good thoughts this morning on dealing with grief when these moments come? We've all went through it. We've all had issues in our life where somebody departs. You know, it's kind of why I'm never completely comfortable with the terms that we use when people die. We come up with some interesting terms here. You know, I was talking with Adam yesterday about one of those terms, we lost. Well, when somebody dies, we really didn't lose them. You know, they died. And a lot of people love to use the term passed away. Now, I really don't know where that term came from. I don't know if it describes it. We all know what it means, but I don't know if it describes what happened. We don't like to use the word died. And we don't, I mean, it almost comes off harsh now when we say it. When we say, you know, such and such died. It comes off unfeeling. And I'm not sure why. But we do like to use the words passed away. We like to say the words lost. I don't know why died is such a harsh term. Does anybody have any feeling on this or how they have dealt with grief over the years? These things are helpful, I think, to the listening audience. Give us a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay. We've talked about the tomato plant. Nobody has any advice for me on these tomato plants. How I'm going to remember how to water these things. Because clearly, I'm not good at it. So, I don't even know if I left a note if it would help. You know, here's how bad it's gotten. This morning, I could not find my car keys. Now, I do not remember the last time in life that I lost my car keys. But this morning, I woke up I went to the place where they normally are, and the car keys were not there. So then, I went to the other places where I thought they could possibly be, no car keys. And I tried to retrace my steps yesterday, because I, you know, when I got home yesterday, which I know the car had to be on then, or I wouldn't have gotten home. Well, it looks like we're getting a phone call here. Let's take the phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, you bring up an interesting topic there on death. I just lost my sister about a week ago, and, you know, I don't feel any ill effects. I figure we had, you know, our good times and bad times, but you just can't go dwelling on it like that.
Well, I think you're right. I think that's important. And how old a lady was she?
She was 74. And I mean, she had brain cancer there, and towards the end there, she was suffering. And thank goodness for hospice. They did a lot for her.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when somebody lives a good long life like that, of course we miss them when they leave, but, I mean, we have to, I think, look back on the good times we had with them.
Absolutely. I can't disagree with you one bit on that, but, you know, like I tell everybody else, they said, well, how come you ain't grieving all that bad? I said, well, because... you know, all the good times, I'm looking at that instead of looking, you know, on the bad side of it. And, you know, hey, you got to move on with life.
Well, and you know, the truth of it is, and I think, you know, one thing I think with death, and certainly my condolences to you, it's very tough to have a family member pass away, but one thing I think that's tough with us as human beings, I think we are very afraid of our own death.
I'm not. I tell people I could walk out the door there and that could be it, you know? It just doesn't bother me, and I'm not going to go around worrying about it. It's going to happen. You know, we can't look into the future and say when or how.
Well, that's true, and I think, you know what's funny? Is there have been all these conversations lately about what happens when somebody dies. And it's always interesting to me that the person who knows that they're going to die, they don't really seem to care what happens. You know, well, you know, you can do this, you can do that, I don't really care. But yet, it's really about the people who are left here more than the person who's leaving, because they'll be gone.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I would like to think there's something on the other side, but, you know, I'm not for sure until I take that trip, you know?
Well, and somebody told me, you know, one of the best things I ever heard when it came to death was that, that's the one thing none of us knows for sure. Now, we can all have an idea of what happens, and some of us can believe it very strongly. So when somebody dies, the one thing we can say is, well, they know the secret now.
Yeah, that's for sure. I always said if there was something on the other side, come and let me know there.
Yeah, and I think we would all like a sign on what goes on, because, you know, I think that's what really people fear when it comes to death is, well, what happens? Is it going to hurt? I think those are the things, I don't know if it's so much the death, I think it's the unknown that people are afraid of.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, that's understandable. I mean, you know, some people look at it in a whole different way, like I do, and some people look at it in a different way, and you know, you can't fault them for that.
Now, how did your sister feel as the end was approaching?
She was ready. She was good with it. And then she said, you know, I won't live my life without being tied up to a bunch of machines, right? That's something she made me make a promise to her, never to let her, you know, be hooked up and living like a vegetable. She didn't want that at all, so she went the way she wanted, and she was fine with it.
Well, that's good. Now, did she pass peacefully?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, hospice did a wonderful job. I mean, they were with me every, you know, second of the day. It was just, you know, it was easy. I mean,
that's good.
It made things easier for me.
Well, you know, and those hospice people, they do a great job because they keep your family member out of pain. You know, I don't know what people did before hospice.
Oh, it was rough before hospice really stepped in. I was taking care of her, and I was the only one that was doing it. And believe me, that's a job for anybody. I got utmost respect for her.
Absolutely. And you say she had a form of brain cancer, was it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just, you would not believe the issues that she had. I mean, it was just terrible towards the end. And it just takes you to places you don't want to go.
That's true. That's true. Well, I'm glad that she was able to be at peace now, and like I say, our condolences to you, and I certainly thank you for sharing your story this morning.
Okay, Scott. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Stay well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, and that's the type of thing, you know? And we're all going to face things like that. You never know what's around the corner. That's why you cannot worry about silly little things. Because in the grand scheme of things of life, if something big happens, the little stuff doesn't matter at all. The little stuff becomes so trivial and so just, but you know what, in that conversation, and I know people listening this morning are saying, hey, didn't he just say he didn't like the terms passed away and lost? We use them. They're built into our vocabulary. And I don't know why we have such a trouble in the United States just saying died. I don't know. I don't understand it. But I do it just like everybody else. I'm no different than anybody else. I use those terms as well. Anybody have any thoughts on this? I think it's an interesting subject, or any of the other things we've talked about this morning. Anybody have an idea how I can keep these tomato plants up and running? Remember to water those tomato plants? Or does anybody know the helmet law when it comes to motorcycles in Ohio? Or any thoughts on when people depart this life? You know, I have recently found the term went on to their reward to be a nice term. I think that's a nice way of saying it. And I think instead of saying going to visit the tombstone, I think, or going to the cemetery, I think going to visit their shade. I think that's a nice term. I think it's just a different play on words than what we continually use. So if anybody wants to get in on the conversation, feel free. We've got 10 minutes left in this hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz here. 50 minutes past the hour. All right. You know another thing I have seen lately when it comes to death? And you know, I hate to harp on this, but are tattoos. Now, you know, people can do what they want to do and get all the tattoos they want to. But this one that comes when people die, you know, I always wonder. It reminds me of, like, social media pages that go on when people die. Would the people who have died like this? I don't know. Maybe some would. But, see, that's another one of my pet peeves. Put this right up there with people who don't put things back after they're in a communal area, is that social media pages, when people die, and people go to those pages and talk to them like they can read them. When you have died, you can no longer read your Facebook page. It's over. I do not understand this. I, in my life, have never done this. I have never went to somebody's Facebook page who has departed and wrote a message. Now, maybe that's a cathartic thing. Maybe that's for the people who are here, and they feel better because they can go there and write them. I don't know. I would think that with all the bazillions of dollars wrapped up in computer technology, that people would be able to deactivate, just the companies, would be able to deactivate these pages when people depart, go on to their reward. But there their pages go on, and people keep commenting again and again and again. I don't understand that. That is just a weird, weird thing to me. But you know what? What's weird to me might be fine for other people. Maybe the family members I don't know. Maybe family members enjoy reading those things. I don't know. It's beyond me in a way. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz here. Anything on your mind this morning, we would enjoy hearing from you. Certainly an interesting conversation. Do want to remind everybody, the Adam the Computer Guy show will be on 2:10 till 3 p.m. today, and then we will have Voice of a People with Linda Sims from 4:10 until 5 p.m. You know, I've asked this question before, but somebody brought it up the other night, and I could not remember it. Where was the loop in Marion? Now, I don't think people shoot the loop anymore, but where was the loop? I know it was downtown, but I cannot remember exactly what the loop was. And why did people go in this circle? I mean, what was the point of it? And when did you do it? Did you do it on Friday and Saturday nights? Was that when you went down and shot the loop? See, I thought that the loop was State Street, Center Street, Prospect Street, Church Street. I thought that was the loop. But then I thought, well, maybe it was longer than that, because it wouldn't take very long to drive that area. And what did this do? I mean, were you with a whole bunch of people? Was it like a parade? I don't know. What was the purpose of shooting the loop? I really have no idea when it comes to this. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have memories of shooting the loop here in town? Because I was it because that was a busy area? Downtown was a busy area? I don't know. I don't know what the loop would be now. Maybe the loop would be Mount Vernon Avenue, Polane Road, 309, and I don't know. Well, it can't be Kensington. I don't know how far you would go down. You can't go down that alley down there that people call Vine Street. That won't work, because that's one way. I don't know. I don't know what the loop was or where the loop would be today. I don't know what significance it had. All right, here's somebody going to fill me in on the old loop. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I believe the loop was from Sergeant Street down Center Street to Park Boulevard, and then back around the whole way. I didn't do it that much because I didn't have much money to burn up in gas, but I think that's what it was. I think you And it's because that's the way they met people. Heck, you'd be surprised how many people met their spouse there that they'd never seen before. I know very much a lady that did. But I think, I'm not sure, but I think that's what it was. It was from Sergeant Street, which that's where the one-way started. And then it went to Park Boulevard, across Park Boulevard, back up West Church Street, clear down the other end, and back around.
Now, did you stay in your car the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, most people, they had loud mufflers and all that stuff. Gas was cheap, and that's the way a lot of people met their spouse, their future spouse there. So, but I that's to my knowledge, because I was out and about at that stage, but I think that's where it started, West Sergeant Street, and then followed the one-way clear down to Park Boulevard, across that little shot, then back up West Church, clear back up the other way. So
Now, if you were in a car, though, how would you meet somebody?
You go slow. Yeah, see, you had stoplights. You had stop at lights. And so if you stopped at the lights, then that's when you would talk to somebody or giggle or whatever.
Oh, well, so it was a lot of people were doing this at the same... Now, I would think it'd be hard to see somebody in another car.
Well, no, because heaven forbid you had your windows down, you know, and that was the whole purpose. And so you just, you know, when you stop at a stoplight, then, you know, you giggle to the people next door, and first thing you know, why you was looking out for that person to come back around the next time. So, it was kind of a chase it game that people figured out themselves. So they didn't have cell phones, so they had to do the best they could.
They did what they, well, hey, thanks for the information.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. There's the loop information. See, I don't think this is a thing anymore, though. I don't think people are shooting the loop any longer. But, you know, this seems difficult. It would seem to me that maybe you could go to... I know roller rinks were big in those days. And I think dancing was big in those days. Or restaurants. See, I would think if you wanted to meet somebody... Maybe you would go to one of those places, like a roller rink or a restaurant or something like that. Somebody in another car, I don't know how well that would work, but I guess if you pulled up to the stoplight, you could just yell out the window. Go ahead, caller. Good morning.
Yeah, the way we were correct on the way the loop was, it was mainly on Friday and Saturday night. Well, the stores back then were open on Friday and Saturday night, and people would get out, and they'd meet all their friends or whatever, and shoot the loop and go, and they would drag race. Since they got by Prospect Street, they would drag race on down to Park Boulevard.
Oh, so it was also a drag race?
Yeah. That's the way it went from Sergeant to Park Boulevard.
Now, did the, were the police...
Well, people shot during the week, but mainly Friday and Saturday night.
Oh, interesting. Well, thanks for the information.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the police were up on this. Well, maybe they went downtown and watched the drag racing. Who knows? We're going to break here in about 10 seconds, and then we'll come back on the other side with much more. Don't go anywhere.
107.1 FM, the talking place for legendary talk show host Phil Donahue.
And I'm just impressed with your professional enthusiasm, and you're doing what I used to do, just, you know, drive people crazy until they finally say yes. And do the show. That shows me a lot.
Well, I
more your kind in our game.
Well, I have to say, and there are a few more things we're going to get on into here in the next 28 minutes, but, you know, I think this is important live radio stuff to talk about. I barrage Mr. Donahue with requests to come on this show constantly. He's probably about ready to change his phone number.
No, I'm telling you the truth.
Before I let you go, I have to say that you have